Good morning. Thank you for taking some time out of your day to listen to our worship service. We are Canoe Camp Church, a joint Christian Disciples of Christ and United Church of Christ congregation. Know that you are loved. As an announcement, I wanted to reiterate that the Oh My Roof vendor fair has been postponed indefinitely. We will let you know when a new date is decided upon. I borrowed today's invocation from the Reverend Gal Blog's website. Won't you pray with me? Holy One, you are not distant. You are present and listening. And though I long for worship gatherings and hugs and coffee hour, for leisurely shopping sprees and errands and to-do lists, I long for you more. For a sense of your abiding love wrapping me in a cocoon of peace. But Almighty One, my fears are real. My health and well-being is in your hands, even as I wash mine, and in the hands of strangers who may not be keeping their distance. May the longings I feel for normalcy and freedom from fear find their rest in you and you alone. Be with those I love who are separated by miles but are always close in my heart. May I learn new ways to embrace the lonely valleys even as I dream of dancing again on the heights. You are always with me. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Good day. I hope this message finds everyone in good health. It is a different time for sure. We are not used to being shut up and not having the freedoms that we normally do. The title of the message is The Triumphal Entry. Jonas Salk was born in New York City, October 28, 1914. Born of European immigrant parents and of the Ashkenazi Jewish faith, Jonas was a gifted child, and at the age of 13, he entered Townsend High School, a public school for the intellectually gifted students. It was said to be a launching pad for the talented sons of immigrant parents who lacked the money or the pedigree to attend a top private school. He was known as a perfectionist. Students in this high school crammed a four-year curriculum into 3 years, and as a result, many dropped out or flunked. The school's motto was study, study, study. He enrolled in the City College of New York, and there he earned his Bachelor's of Science, a degree in chemistry, in 1934. this college represented an apex of public higher education. Getting in was tough, but the tuition was free. It was said of this college, the student body fought hard to get in and was driven by parents. But out of this hard-driven public college, second only to Berkeley, emerged a wealth of intellectual talent between the years of 1930 and 1940. In this setting, young Salk, that he entered at the age of 15 after skipping multiple grades, truly a gifted person. He eventually chose the field of medical studies. But because of his Jewish faith, there was discrimination in the best colleges. Salk enrolled in the New York University to study medicine. They did not discriminate against Jews. It was there he worked on the influenza virus. He experimented with the idea of destroying the virus, a live virus, and still immunizing the person. As time moved on, Salk began his own medical lab to work on a polio vaccine. Polio was fast becoming a health problem and a major crippling medical problem. At the time, vaccines were grown from living cells, but working with living virus cells, such as polio, was dangerous. All of this took a great amount of time as the polio epidemic was growing greater. Salk came up with an idea of using a dead polio cell along with fluids and inject them into the body, tricking the body's immune system into thinking it was a living cell, attacking it and destroying this dead cell. This would, in effect, educate the body's immune system, cutting down the lag time or the response time or the reaction time of the immune system. And it would act on a living cell before the, in this case, a polio cell would grow or find a host. It was tested and it worked, and in April 12, 1955, the vaccine was announced to be safe, saving many lives, including perhaps some or many of us living today. This project was large and was financed by Dimes, and out of this, the founding of the March of Dimes began. I wonder how many of us hearing this story remember taking Salk's vaccine. I do. We find ourselves again at a time when we are held hostage by another virus. Will there be another Salk? In the history of humanity, there are people of all races and genders who seem to have been born at just the right time and for one reason, dedicated their lives for the purpose of helping all of humanity, driven, it seemed like, both day and night to solve problems of the world. Inventions of all kinds, technologies, medical breakthroughs. These were done by people, it seems, as though driven and born for just this purpose. There are many people at this time who are dedicating their time and their effort and who show the love of humanity, doctors and nurses and the police people, many, many people are dedicated their time at this time to help save humanity. We certainly should remember them. I tell you this story because I think there is hope and that we will get through this also. Easter, in many ways, is a story of hope. We see Jesus as a healer, but can we also see him as a scientist, a creator of a vaccine for the soul? This is Palm Sunday, and I would like to read the traditional scripture. And I'm going to read out of Mark 11. As they approached Jerusalem, they came to Bethphage and Bethany, and at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and just as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you doing this?' say, 'The Lord needs it and will send it back here shortly.'" They went and found a colt outside in the street, tied at a doorway. As they untied it, some people standing there asked, "What are you doing untying that colt?" They answered as Jesus had told them to, and the people let them go. When they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks over it, he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, while others spread the branches they had cut in the fields. Those who went ahead and those who followed shouted, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming of the kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest." I want to go and spiritualize this text a little more than I normally do on Palm Sunday. Each year I ask you this question: what is the symbolic meaning of Jesus riding an unridden colt or a donkey into Jerusalem? I can see you all smiling in the years past. And last year, one remembered part of the answer. I have been asking this question since I have been pastor of Canoe Camp. But I want to look at it in a more deeper way and try to get some spiritual understanding of it. And I want to break it down. I think it is an idea. I'll give you the symbolic meaning. To me, it's about an idea. The donkey or the colt unridden is about a new idea that has never been unleashed onto the world. It's a brand new idea, and it's never been brought into the world. And it represents that in a general sense to me. But I want to go look at it and break it down a little bit further. And so I'm going to start with, he sent ahead. So the idea, again, we're going to center everything around this new idea of peace entering into the world. A way of living that was untied, brought into Jerusalem, but yet tied up again. Because the colt was sent back, and I'm assuming it was tied back up. So he tells his disciples to go ahead and go find, enter in. So by going ahead, he's looking into the future, or he's looking for a higher spiritual understanding. He says, go ahead and enter in. Go into this place and where this idea is within our minds and our hearts. Where is this idea that it seems to be so hard and so elusive, this peace that we seem in this world cannot seem to get a hold of and live without enmity? We seem to have enmity within everything. So he's telling them to go ahead and go in and get this colt and find this colt tied. So the colt represents, or the donkey represents, the unridden donkey or colt represents an idea that's still in bondage, still held, still tied up and not set free. And no one has ridden it. No one has thought about it. No one has lived this idea out. And he tells them to go into the edge of town. He doesn't tell them to go into the town square. So again, this represents an idea that's barely at the edge of things. It's not an idea that's, he didn't say go into the town square and find this donkey. He said, go to the edge of the town. Go ahead, and just as you enter in, meaning you just have to go just a little bit and you'll find it. You're not going to go into the town square. It's not going to be everywhere. And the colt was tied up, which represents the idea again, and which no one has ridden, which represents that it was not unleashed onto the world. He says, untie it and bring it here. So he wants to untie this idea, bring it back out, and examine it, and enter it into the thought system of all the people that were in Jerusalem. So they untie it, and Jesus, they throw their cloaks on top of it, which represents they're giving their power and kingship to Jesus, and Jesus mounts this colt and rides it into town. And the people are happy, and they are joyful for a while. But I chose this passage in Mark because Jesus says, I'm only going to borrow the colt for a short time, and then I'm going to tie it back up, or I'm going to give it back to you. So we're only going to examine or live this idea for a very short time. We're only going to set free or introduce this idea for a short time, and then we're going to tie it back up again. And it's not going to live free, which really is, in a sense, the story of peace in which Jesus has tried to bring into this world a new vaccine for our soul, a new way of thinking and living. Granted, we have many times and many times we help one another in this idea of peace, of trying to take away the enmity, and even in times like these in which we are dealing with this coronavirus, there are many, many people who see past all this enmity and reach out and help one another. But it seems for some reason through time, it doesn't take a hold. It doesn't stay living the way it should. It's a sad reality. Also, the people of that time, the Jewish people of that time, were looking for a Messiah, a king, who would be like David. And so as Jesus was representative of a different type of kingship other than a earthly power, they misunderstood what Jesus was entering into the city of Jerusalem for. And even though they were pumped up and excited because this is the time when they thought they could be free from the Roman bondage and they once again could become a power unto themselves and they could live as in the time of David and Solomon. But this was not the case again. I want to talk about the donkey just a little bit. The donkey was always seen as a symbol of peace. And I said the symbolic meaning of Jesus riding the donkey, and as I tell the story each year, is that when the Romans, or when you had a war, if you wanted reinforcements, you sent the fastest horse you got back to go back to the to get reinforcements, because you were in trouble and the horse ran at the utmost speed. And so when you looked out across the field and you saw a horse galloping back, you knew that in this case, we'll take for instance the Romans were in trouble. And so people understood the symbolic meaning. But when somebody was riding a donkey back, they knew that peace had been won and that the war was over. So the donkey became a symbol of peace. And there was some stories, I think Solomon and David, who had donkeys in which they rode in ceremonial parades because they were at peace. And the donkey has been around for quite a long time. It's been used for a working animal for about 5,000 years. It's one of the older domestic working animals. And it's supposed to, somewhere around 40 million in the world, mostly used in the undeveloped world. Now, there's also another word that is associated with the donkey, and that is an ass. So that is an acronym for the real name, or the Latin name, I'm assuming, Aquinas Africanus Asinus, A-S-S. So I found that to be an interesting acronym and the development of the word ass associated with donkey. I think it's hard in this time of the year, and this time in which we are, again, as I said, we are cramped in our houses and we're not allowed to travel and enjoy the spring. It's going to be a difficult Easter time. We can't get together. We can't enjoy the celebration of a high Christian holiday. We are learning to use technology, gifts of very talented people who have given us this technology. I'm one who is learning along the way. I'm not fearful of technology, but yet it's a new way of communicating with one another. We have to learn to think and act in different ways. I think in the week ahead, as we are at approaching the high point of this coronavirus, it certainly needs a lot of prayers and thoughts, as we are told many people are going to get ill and die. I hope there is a new sock that comes along the way, and someone develops a virus, and we can once again live in the land of peace. But maybe not. Maybe we can grow this peace a little closer to what Jesus was talking about and referring to, with less enmity. I'm praying that we will come out of this with a more open and more diligence to solve some of our problems. But I'm also, the pessimistic side of me says that history will repeat itself again. I ask you each to have God's blessing in the days ahead, and may we remain healthy and free from sickness. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
His robe. He wrapped a towel around his waist like a servant's clothes. Then my master, Lord and King, kneeled to do this amazing thing. He washed their feet. He got down on his knees and washed their feet. Why would my master, Lord and King, come to do this amazing thing? He washed their feet. Wash their feet. laid aside his glory and his crown. He did not cling to power or follow after fame. Still all heaven sings his glory of his name. So wash their feet, be a servant, humble and meek. Wash their feet, hear my call and live it true. Do for them what I do for you. Wash their feet.
Now
wash their feet. Wash their feet.
Now
wash their feet. There one night in the upper room, he laid aside his robe.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time that we can use technology to communicate with one another. We are blessed in many ways as we struggle through this time of coronavirus. We ask you to be with this nation and the world in general. We ask you to be with leadership. May they be honest in their attempts to help one another. May our news and our knowledge and our understanding not plant fear in our hearts and minds, but give us a sense of hope and a light at the end of the tunnel. Lord, this is the time of the year in which we celebrate Easter. Help us to appreciate the resurrection in a newfound way. There is hope. We love life. Many will die at this time. We ask you to be with each one as they lose loved ones. It's very difficult. It's a very difficult time. It's a time of healing. And Jesus, the great healer, we ask you to touch each heart. We're thankful that each one of us are healthy. We're getting anxious. And help us to have a sense of patience. It's difficult. Help us to calm our minds. Lord, I ask you to be with each one who helps in this time. Our doctors and nurses, our EMT people, ministers and pastors, and each individual, from the young and to the old, many are doing many, many good things. Watch over us and protect us. Bless us. We're thankful. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.